When I was young, I had the opportunity to go to Girl Scout camp for a couple of weeks each summer. The first time I went, it was a mixture of emotions, excitement and uncertainty and a little fear as I got on a school bus in St. Paul, Minnesota, and headed up to northern Wisconsin, 4 hours away. It was also probably the first time I had been away from home for more than, you know, one or two nights. This was a two-week stint. I had heard from my friend about some of the adventures that she had had at camp the summer before, so, you know, it was kind of exciting to think about the different things, but I don't remember her telling me about the fear of walking in the dark without a light, or sleeping in a canvas tent and having the mosquitoes buzzing around your head, or all the animal sounds that would occur. And of course, up in northern Wisconsin, there's the black bears. You always wonder if, you know, you're gonna see a bear. In fact, the waterfront director had this big cowbell because the waterfront was about a mile from the lodge. So, and she would go down to the waterfront before all of us kids would. So she'd wear this big cowbell to scare away any bears so the bears would know they were coming. So I imagine that you know, as well as our ancestors, have had various emotions whenever we've gone on different paths or, you know, had different experiences in our lives. And I've heard it said that faith is an orientation that leads to decisive action, even if there's no tangible or visible support for that action. So I thought about our ancestors, I thought about people I've known, I thought about my own walk, how sometimes, you know, it's a step of faith, you know, it's an orientation toward trusting and then just stepping out and seeing, you know, how the action, you know, comes forth. So at home, I got thinking about at home how my parents displayed faith, especially in God, by their daily walk, by living out in their daily lives, that trust and hope that God was with them, that God would take care of them, that even with 10 of us kids to feed and clothe and care for, that somehow we would make it through. So as I entered this new camp experience, I found that I started standing on the example my parents had given me. You know, trusting, walking with faith, seeing what happened, trying to make good decisions. I stepped out in that hope and trust and the promise that God was still with me and understood that even if I seemed like I was alone, I wasn't, because God was with me. And, you know, there were other people there too at times. At camp, in order to go to the bathroom at night, you went into these latrines. And of course, you were going from your tent, walking all the way across in the dark if it's at night. But on the latrines, they had these lanterns. You know, those old kerosene lanterns, you feel them, and you have to make sure that every morning or every day before the nighttime comes, you trim the wick, you wipe out all the dirt and the soot, and then, you know, you light it again so that in nighttime you can see. You have a point of reference as the way to walk, right? And if you forget to do it, those nights, you can't see your way to the bathroom. Maybe you end up having to have an accident and poison ivy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But, you know, the importance of having that focus point. So then there were the walks in the morning after breakfast, or going up to breakfast to the lodge, and after rains, it would be a great fun to be walking down the path, and then you see a little tree and you shake it, and then all the rain falls, you know, on the person behind you, you know, and then you shake it again and it falls behind you, right? It was great fun. Some of us, we didn't learn too fast and we kept getting, you know, rained upon. Others, you know, as time went on, it was like, okay, I have to make a decision. Do I want to shake this and get Bob Tyler behind me wet, you know? Or do I know that Larry is going to shake the tree in front of me, so I could just decide, I'm just going to stop a minute because, you know, there's only so many raindrops on the tree, right? I'll let the rain fall and then I'll walk, right? But then you also have to be careful, right, on muddy paths that it's slipping and sliding sometimes, right? Or there's maybe roots in the path that if you're not careful, you can trip over, right? So all those different things, those are just, you know, camp things, but in all of our lives, in our ancestors' lives, we all have things that we, you know, focus on and take a step out in faith and things to watch out for. I invite you to consider Abraham. He's 100 years old at this, well, in part of the scripture, he's 100 years old, and his wife Sarah is 90 years old, and they're told that they're going to have a baby in their old age. Their response? Yeah, they both laughed, right? They both laughed. Who would believe that a woman with one foot toward the grave also has another foot that's soon going to be in the, maybe both feet, in the maternity ward? I mean, you think about that, right? How great is our God? You know, going beyond what we can imagine, what seems normal, you know, in our sense of normal, right? COVID kind of taught us that, hey, normal is like, you know, normal is maybe not normal. I mean, it's a walk of faith. Our whole lives are walks of faith. They both laughed, yet they both trusted. They had a deep trust. And that led to continued action. They could leave their homeland. They knew they were searching for another. They didn't have to look back. They were like, we want you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We will follow where you lead us. Persevering in the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen, trusting God to fulfill God's promise in God's timing, even if we're maybe 101 and 91 at the birth, or you know what I mean? We can learn from our ancestors of faith. We can learn from each other. Looking at and reflecting on how we live, what we have faced, what we have overcome, putting our hand in the hand of the one who stills the water. I bet Milt's thinking, put your hand in the hand of the man who stills, right? Whose light leads us on our way. And by doing that, we come to see how we too may receive the gift of faith, that gift of love. And in that reception of that gift of faith and that love, we're freed then to go and share that with whomever we cross paths with. Emily Bowen tells a story called Unselfish Roots. This couple was enjoying the view of oak trees from a historic home's front porch. Emily said, when live oak trees are planted together in a row, their roots not only intertwine, but they fuse together. This interdependent root system allows the live oaks to share water and nutrients and to form a stronger hold in the ground. When a hurricane had swept through that area, their live oaks sustained little damage because they were held strongly together in the earth. I wonder, what would happen if we held as tightly together through the hurricanes of this life as those live oak trees? What if we poured the strength, wisdom, and love that God has rained down on us into the lives of those experiencing hardship or sorrow? What if we received that same strength, wisdom, and love from others when we ourselves were going through the trials? And this can also cover when we're going through the joys. God did not design us to live for ourselves, but created us to be a people firmly bound together by our roots in our Creator and the Creator's kingdom. To be so rooted and grounded in faith, persevering in the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen, that God's light and God's grace shine through us, illuminating God's promise to us all. I think of this congregation. You know, while I was away, I carried you in my heart in prayers, wondered how things were going, if you could survive without me. I'm sure you can, and that's what we need, to be able to survive, but also to walk with each other, caring for each other, and how grateful for this experience to be with you all, because in this congregation, I see those pieces of binding together in Christ, reaching out to each other as you go along your way and whatever happens, as well as having the patience to put up with no bulletins for a while. You know, as we experiment and we see, you know, what truly is needed, because sometimes I become blind to maybe what is needed. I'm in my own little, you know, my own little groove, you know. But my hope and prayer is that we continue to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, continue to gather together in worship and praise, and continue to discern our walk in faith, where the Lord is leading each of us individually and as a community. And trusting, praying, trust. I always think of what my dad told me. He says, pray, then ask people who know, you know, and then pray some more, and then you step out in faith. And then you keep aware of how that action is, you know, producing fruits. Is it producing the fruits of the Spirit? Or am I on, like, did I take a wrong path and I need to, like, you know, try and go through the woods to, no, just kidding. Probably not go through the woods to get to another path, but maybe, you know, retrace and, you know, go another way or whatever. But, okay, now I'm rambling. So let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to hold fast to you and the promise of your love. Continue to equip us to go forth in faith with courage and perseverance, knowing that you indeed are our helper and shield, the one in whom we place our trust. To you be all honor, glory, and power, now and forever. Amen.